Get your take on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We'll start with a couple of headlines that you need to know. Caesars has put out their projected win odds, their playoff odds, win totals for the NFL across the board. Biggest surprise, the Patriots open with a win total of 8.5. That would be the team's lowest since 2003. That would also be lower than the projection for them, which they gave to Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have a win total projection of 9 for Tom Brady, their squad there. The Buffalo Bills have a win total of 9, according to Caesars Sportsbook, and the plus 100 favorite to win the AFC East, all at Caesars. So Caesars is telling you it's over for the Patriots. Well, at least one step closer to that. One other big headline right now. Top high school player in the country, Jalen Green. That would be the number one high school player in high school basketball in the country. Has informed colleges that he's going to enter the NBA G League Professional Pathway Program. Sources told ESPN on Thursday he's just made a formal announcement on social media. The G League Professional Pathway was launched in 2018 as a program that paid $125,000 to prospects as an alternative to college basketball. So Green is going to join an enhanced version of that program. So he decided not to go to Auburn, Memphis, Oregon, Florida State, USC, Fresno State, all teams that were vying for him at this point. But he instead will enter this pathway. He's expected to be one of the front runners to become the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft. A historic moment here, somebody deciding to pick the G League over college basketball. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you guys, having a little fun here. Shaq told Ariel Helwani on ESPN that he believes his three-peat Lakers team could have beaten the Bulls in their prime, that he and Kobe could have taken down MJ, Scotty, and the Bulls in their prime. So we're asking you to chime in. Who do you think could have beaten the Bulls in their prime? 888-say-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Amos in California. Amos, you know we love it when you call. What's your take, my friend?
What's up, Jason? First of all, tell me some slack. I'm 11 years old, and I think it's the 16, 17, 17, 18 Warriors. Their starting lineup is arguably one of the best in the NBA history to me. And their bench is really overrated. And they won back-to-back championships. So I think they could easily beat the Bulls.
Amos, I love the call. I'm surprised we haven't seen more of that. And, you know, a couple of people tweeted that call and tweeted that thought out. And all of a sudden, you would think that the basketball gods were greatly offended. I've been talking about how we're undervaluing Scottie Pippen in the Bulls conversation. We're certainly undervaluing Kevin Durant and how difficult it would be to stop him, especially because it would be a matchup nightmare for the Bulls. Who's going to get out there and defend KD and Steph? I mean, who's going to do it? The NBA is so different at this point. Bob in Pennsylvania, what do you got for your take on who you think could have taken down the MJ and the Bulls in their prime?
I think that the Showtime Lakers with Magic, Kareem, Worthy, just a bunch of Hall of Famers there, Michael Cooper, that team had size. It had tremendous speed and athleticism. And let's not forget that during that era, that they had to battle the Celtics, who were also another team that would challenge the Bulls as well. So those Lakers teams were hardened like stone from the competition that they had against the Celtics.
You know, I really do like that portion of the argument on why that Lakers team or that Celtics, either of those teams from that era, could have been competitive, because there was this sort of huge competition between the two of them. It's been well documented, but it really did sort of galvanize those teams, make them stronger. And that, to that end, you know, you could argue that the first three-peat for the Bulls, while it may not have had the same level of star power and wins as the second three-peat, because they had to get through that Pistons team, maybe they were a little tougher. So how does that play into it? Jim in Pennsylvania, what do you got? Who do you think could have taken down MJ and the Bulls in their prime?
Well, first of all, I think there's a plethora of teams that would compete with them, but I know a team that would beat them is the 2018 Warriors. First of all, we got Draymond Green. He matches up perfectly. He is Dennis Rodman, just not as crazy, doesn't have the colored hair. Klay, he's not going to lock up MJ. MJ is going to get 35 still, but that's going to happen on anybody. Kevin Durant is going to feast. Scottie's good, but he's not going to be able to take out Kevin Durant. And who's going to guard Steph? Nobody.
Yeah, you know what? It's a really good call. I mean, I know that people feel like there's a recency bias and we're not allowed to like anything that happens right now, but I don't think you're off in that. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out who matches up with KD in a way that really shuts him down? I mean, I can't see it. And you're right, Steph is going to just go nuts. And so offensively, the Warriors are going to be able to put up so many points. We have to understand the evolution of the game so much. And there's a really smart shooting chart that's out there right now that shows the difference in the majority of shots taken by James Harden versus the majority of shots taken by Michael Jordan. And you see the way the game has changed. You have to defend out further with the big guys. It would be a nightmare to try and figure out how to stop Kevin Durant. We'll keep getting your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But let's get into some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You know the drill at this point. Every day, we take a look at a different team and their quarterback as part of the series we like to call QB Continued. See what we did there. It's fun. Today's look might be one of the more heated quarterback conversations for any fan base, as today they took a look at the quarterback continued situation around Nick Foles, Mitchell Trubisky, and the Chicago Bears. Stephen A. specifically taking a look at whether Nick Foles should start more games for the Bears than Mitchell this year.
And I think it's going to be Nick Foles because even though he only played in like four or five games last year and completed about 65% of his passes, he's got a championship pedigree. And it's recent. It's not a distant memory. It was just two or three years ago that he won the Super Bowl championship over the New England Patriots, throwing for about 373 yards in the Super Bowl. Obviously, that facilitated him. The very next year, he took over for the injured Carson Wentz again and guided the Eagles to three or four victories to end the regular season and a victory over the Chicago Bears in the postseason. So the Bears remember him vividly. When you combine that with the fact that Trubisky, who has talent, by the way, but just doesn't seem to have the mental toughness to lead this franchise as of yet, that's why you acquired Nick Foles. Mitchell Trubisky can throw the football. He can certainly run with the football. He has talent. The problem is you passed up on Deshaun Watson to grab him. You passed up on Patrick Mahomes to grab him. And obviously that's going to stain his career. Not to mention, I recall when he was drafted and he went to a Chicago Bulls game and they introduced him at the United Center and he was, unceremoniously booed. And so when you take that into consideration and you hear about what kind of effect that had on him mentally and emotionally, you're the Chicago Bears and you look at Matt Nagy last year and this guy was protecting him. There were times when Mitchell Trubisky wouldn't run with the football nearly as much as he should. There were times when he wouldn't throw it when he should. Because he was rattled and he had a coach that was trying to massage and pacify him a little bit too much. Around grown men, Booger, you can speak to this a hell of a lot better than me. Around grown men with mortgages to pay, kids to feed, a family to take care of, and professional sports, you cannot play the quarterback position and be babied so flagrantly by your head coach. You have to be a leader of men, at least in some capacity. Nick Foles, when you look at him from an overall talent perspective, ain't the guy that's going to outrun anybody, might not even outthrow Mitchell Trubisky, but he's poised, he's solid, he doesn't crack under pressure, he's proven, and the level of maturity you're looking for from Trubisky, Nick Foles already has. I believe that's why they acquired him, and I believe the team will mandate to the head coach that this is a guy that you put in that position and give Trubisky some time to continue to grow under Foles' tutelage.
You know, guys, here's what I would say. The reason that Nick Foles was brought in was because they were unsatisfied with what Mitch Trubisky was doing. So let's understand that. So they are dissatisfied with the job that their high draft pick was doing on the field. So, Molly, when you asked the question, who's going to start more games, I think it's going to be Nick Foles. They are sending the message to us. They are unhappy with the guy. And Stephen A., to your point about, from a makeup standpoint, of the mentality and all those things, when you step on the field as an NFL quarterback, the one thing you have to have that it has to exude out of your pores, that has to come when you walk in the building, is confidence. You know, we're looking at the Last Dance documentary starting on Sunday. The one thing that Michael Jordan always had, Michael Jordan knew he was better. He showed you he was better. But the confidence that he had when he walked in the door, when the name Michael Jordan was mentioned, was always there. Mitch Trubisky doesn't have that. You can see it. And we can talk about turning the TVs off in the building so he can't read and hear the headlines. We can talk about all these different things. Confidence is something that is from inside you. You either have confidence or you don't. I can't put confidence in you. To me, that's where the big issue with Mitch Trubisky is. And Nick Foles brings that in because of success that he's had, because of the confidence that he has in himself. And Max, you talk about branding. You talk about the perception of who you are in the National Football League. That comes from how you play when you get on the field. And most importantly, Nick Foles has been given the keys to the kingdom a couple of times, and he hadn't succeeded. But for whatever reason, he's kept his confidence. That's why he got the job in Jacksonville. That's why he's now going to get an opportunity to have the job in Chicago, because the confidence that Nick Foles brings, and maybe that's just because of who he is and how he believes in himself. But either way, as a player, when I see that come into my locker room, when I see that step onto my football field, I'm like, let's go. I don't care how many mistakes you made, because you're showing me that you have what it takes when the ball is in your hands to get the job done. I don't see that every day in Mitch Trubisky, and that's the difference between those two quarterbacks.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and that's some Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Only at Walmart, so you know what we do. We take the QB Continued series, and we try to move it forward with a little bit of expertise. So to do that now, we're joined by ESPN Bears reporter, co-host of Dickerson and Hood on ESPN Radio, Jeff Dickerson. JD, first and foremost, how you doing, my friend? Is everybody safe and healthy? Everybody's good?
Yeah, I mean, except for the e-learning. That, of course, is an issue in my house. But besides that, from a health standpoint, we're all good, which is what really matters, I guess.
We are going to have a group of strangely educated kids when all of this comes through. I'm just saying I don't trust a lot of my friends to really be handling this well. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the quarterback situation. I feel like whenever your phone blows up, you know that that means we're going to ask you a million things about Mitchell Trubisky. So realistically, when you look at the quarterback position moving forward, how do you see it playing out for Chicago this season?
I would think, Jason, that Nick Foles is going to be the Bears' starting quarterback, and this is the reason why. To me, it boils down to just this. For Mitchell Trubisky to be the number one guy this upcoming year, he has to play a lot better. I mean, a lot better than last year, and better than he played 2 years ago when he was decent and the Bears made the playoffs, okay? So he has to really step up his game. For Nick Foles to be the guy, he just has to play the way he usually plays. I mean, he has to stay healthy, of course, but they're just looking for him to be efficient, smart with the football, consistent. And Nick Foles has had a lot of ups and downs. There were bad moments at the end in Philadelphia the first time. St. Louis did not work out. He was a third-string quarterback in Kansas City. But the guy has had the highest of highs, you know, winning Super Bowl MVP, winning playoff games for the Eagles. And he was playing well early in that first game last year before he suffered the broken collarbone, came back, and he wasn't the same. But in a condensed offseason where, Jason, we might not have anything that we know of as far as offseason programs, who knows about training camp, you're asking one guy to play a ton better. You're asking the other guy just to stay about the same. So I'll put my money on the guy being asked to stay about the same more so than the guy having to do a lot more with less time to prepare to do it.
Okay, so when all of this is said and done, we're talking to Jeff Dickerson, ESPN Bears reporter. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. How does all this reflect on Matt Nagy when it's all said and done?
Well, I think this is probably what Matt Nagy would prefer. I mean, Matt Nagy and Nick Foles go way back, not just to Kansas City, but also to Philadelphia. I think Matt Nagy just needs a quarterback that he can trust. And I'm not saying that Mitchell Trubisky does not have talent. He's very athletic. He's had some good moments in the NFL, Jason, but you just didn't get a sense that the head coach had a ton of trust in him last year. And you can't waste this window. If you're the Bears and you've got still a pretty good defense that should get better with Robert Quinn and Akeem Hicks coming back healthy, and Khalil Mack will do more hopefully this year to disrupt things, kind of a down year for him last season. You've got this sort of championship defense. The window's open, but on offense, you've just been so stuck in the mud. And a lot of that is because the quarterback play just wasn't good enough, especially early last season. So, I mean, I think if they get this to work with Foles, I think Nagy is good. If they make the playoffs, the front office is good. But, Jason, if they fall short again this year, there will have to be changes, because that would mean just one playoff appearance in 6 years under this current GM regime. I think Nagy would be safe, but whenever there's turnover in the front office, I think everyone in the entire building feels nervous.
We're talking to Jeff Dickerson, ESPN Bears reporter, co-host of Dickerson and Hood that you can hear on ESPN Radio. So, J.D., let me ask you a very selfless and selfish and biased question. I'm never supposed to bias anybody when I interview them. I'm breaking all the rules here, okay? You ready? At some point, we have to look back at a key trade for two franchises, the Bears and the Raiders. As we go into the NFL draft, we all know that the Raiders have an additional first-round pick. That's, again, part of the trades that they've made, right? So if you're the Bears today, knowing what they gave up, now that you know where they are as a franchise, was the Khalil Mack acquisition worth it?
I still think it was. I think what messed them up, Jason, is at that time, they thought Trubisky was going to be a franchise quarterback. So it's easier to trade, you know, two first-round picks, all the picks and everything to get Khalil Mack when you thought your quarterback situation was locked down. Now, obviously, it turns out it's not locked down. Could the Bears have benefited from that first-round pick this year? Absolutely. I mean, they could have, you know, maybe tried to draft a quarterback, move up and get another quarterback as opposed to going out and trading for Nick Foles and guaranteeing him all that money. I still think Khalil Mack, even though last year wasn't his best by far, he's still a great player, still a generational player. So I still like the trade, but they just thought the offense was going to be so far ahead of where it's been the last two seasons. That was the miscalculation. Not that Mack wouldn't come to Chicago and be a great player, but they thought they had the offense in place to at least be complementary of that great defense. And for the most part, the last 2 years, it really hasn't been that way.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. We're talking to Jeff Dickerson, ESPN Bears reporter. And again, look, that trade will always hurt my heart, but it's a fair question at this point to ask as both teams look at now. You get more information, you get more opportunity to sort of download everything that we know about it, Jeff. So as you look at the division this year, I think we're sleeping a little bit on how tough this division is. The Packers don't get enough credit sometimes. The Vikings, I still think, are incredibly talented. So where do the Bears fit realistically in your mind within this division?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, you can't put them above third place right now, Jason, because of the offense, because you don't know how the quarterback thing is going to play out, because there's going to be probably no offseason for these guys to iron out all the problems they've had the last couple of years. A new coaching staff on the offensive side in Chicago, so lots of changes. They need tight end help still, need a wide receiver. Offensive line wasn't up to par last year. Didn't run the ball enough with David Montgomery. They got a lot of problems on offense. I think the Packers, I think you and I both agree, probably ahead of schedule last year, right? I mean, no one thought in year one with LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers that they would go as far as they did. That's a dangerous team. The Vikings are always going to be good with that defense. They've now committed again to Kirk Cousins for the near future. I think losing Diggs is tricky. That's a great player going out the door, but I would still say right now, based on everything that we have and just so much uncertainty still around the Bears offense and around quarterback, I'd say you put them in third place. You know, they could be 8-8. They could be 7-9. Couple of things go their way. Foles plays really well. They stay healthy. Maybe this is a 10-6 team going for the playoffs.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. We're talking to Jeff Dickerson, ESPN Bears reporter. We've been talking all this Bears. And by the way, I just found out Jeff's going to be co-hosting Spain and Company tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio with Sarah Spain. So you get to hear a lot of Jeff Dickerson tonight even. But Jeff, I got to get your thoughts on one other thing. Knowing that you have so much history around Chicago, we're asking everybody today on the heels of Shaq's statement that his three-peat Lakers team could have taken down Michael Jordan and the Bulls in their prime. Who do you think could have actually taken down that Bulls team in their prime?
Nobody. I love Shaq. He's been cooped up too long, I think, playing DJ on the kitchen island. There is nobody that beats those Bulls teams. They would have won 8 championships. The only person responsible for the Bulls not having an 8-peat, Jason, was Michael Jordan retiring and going to play baseball for 2 years. If he doesn't leave, they win 8 straight championships. I'm sorry. Every one of those championships was special to me being from Chicago. But the later years when Rodman was in the mix, you had the greatest player of all time in Michael Jordan, one of the greatest number twos of all time in Scottie Pippen, and arguably one of the greatest rebounders and sort of defensive pests of all time in Dennis Rodman. You throw in Phil Jackson, one of the greatest coaches of all time, that supporting cast. Oh man, there's no way. No one would beat the Bulls because Michael would not allow that to happen.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying. I'm hung up on one team that I'm not even proud I'm saying this because it didn't make sense at first. But the more I think about it, the Golden State Warriors team we just saw creates a matchup issue, right? I mean, is there not some level of KD can do so much with so much range and Steph can shoot so well with so much range? I can look at that one and say maybe the Warriors would stand a chance.
Maybe. But then, you know, the thing about Scottie people forget is he was a great defensive player. Scottie Pippen would lock you down on defense. And Michael was a former NBA All-Defensive Player of the Year. They had enough to – I'm not saying that teams couldn't give them a challenge because teams did push them. I mean, you know, there were some great playoff series along the way. In the first three-peat, there were the Knicks, of course. The second three-peat, they had some really good matchups. The Jazz forced them, you know, to go a little deeper in the playoffs later on. But I'm just telling you that I think that team with that coach and those personalities and that just nonstop will to win, that they would have found a way to overcome whatever strength the other team had. I mean, these guys weren't, you know, hanging out with each other after the games. Even on the team, Michael was yelling at guys. I mean, these guys were about cold hard. We're doing everything in our power to win every single night. And I just don't see a team having the type of will that the Bulls had in those late 90s. I just don't see it.
You guys can follow him on Twitter, at Dickerson ESPN. Listen to Dickerson and Hood on ESPN Radio on the weekends. And check him out tonight, hanging out with Sarah Spain and Company. You can hear that from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. JD, as always, stay safe, my friend. Really appreciate your time and your expertise.
My friend, as always, it's a pleasure. We'll talk soon.
Jeff doing great work for the city of Chicago. Look, he's got a little bias on that Bulls thing, but I'm not sure he's wrong. Maybe I'm hung up on the entire process around Golden State. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. We'll keep taking some of your take on what you think on who could have taken down MJ and the Bulls in their prime. Plus, what kind of regrets could the greatest player in NBA history possibly have? The First Take crew discusses it. It's really interesting. You'll hear it next. But first, it's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press in basketball is, right? You still remember? Close your eyes, imagine it. It's full defensive coverage with absolutely zero holes. That's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks, same as the big carriers, but this is important. I'm trying to save you some cash. It's all for a lot less, just $45 a month. Gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. Saves you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract, full court coverage, half the cost. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Hear the Straight Talk from the First Take crew on regrets that Michael Jordan might possibly have with his career next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Having some fun. If you missed the second hour of the show so far today, go check it out. It's on demand at the First Take Your Take podcast. Got some great stuff with Jeff Dickerson, ESPN Bears reporter. You can check it out. Brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. We're taking your take. Who could have beat the Bulls in their prime? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who do you think could have gotten it done? I've become, admittedly, a little obsessed over the concept of the Warriors. Maybe it's just recency bias. I don't know. But it looks like we've got one. Who do we have here? Sav in Ohio? What's your take on it?
Yes, sir. That's Sav. I appreciate you taking the call, my friend, man. Wonderful show since you kicked it off. I would take the gentleman. I guess I'll try to make this point fast to get this KD thing out of the way, because it was the gentleman you had on just a minute ago as your guest from Chicago. And I would pretty much agree with him. But the thing with KD, he didn't take it far enough. You take Rodman or you take Pippen, in either case, and you would physically just systematically remove KD from the equation, because we're not letting them get those kind of shots. If you change up the matchups from a coaching perspective, then you start to juggle some things that don't seem typical. And that would be, I'd sacrifice that defender to make sure. And if we had to chase him off those screens and do all that, because we've been dealing with Reggie Miller in the case of Scottie Pippen, he knows how to do this type of thing. He has the stamina to pull this kind of thing off, and we got those kind of horses. So we're not letting that happen. So we're going to bully them in the way that Cleveland didn't even bully them, and they still wouldn't have a title. But people can do that to Golden State, even when they come back. in their best form, except for Draymond Green, but that's your only force. But when you had Harrison Barnes and you had Iguodala, those guys would toughen that roster up. So, again, I still would have to leave Mike and those guys because from the other probably about an hour or so ago, there was a gentleman who said, listen, it was the will of Michael Jordan. And I just believe that's not breakable because I was going to lean with Shaq because I still think with the presence of Shaq, just to kind of cut to, and I don't want to take up too much time, but cut up to Shaq and his roster and that Kobe Bryant, because the other guy said that too, Kobe Bryant, the upstart Kobe Bryant, though. I'm Afro like Kobe Bryant, too, because in 2000, they was becoming the champs. You know, so that was the alley-oop over Pippen, Kobe and Shaq. And see, I'm a diehard Laker. Let me admit, too, I'm diehard Laker, 46 years old, and I even go back to Magic and them. I still think with Magic and them guys, it could have been a little bit of Mike. It still would have been Mike, and you just can't break Mike. And Mike would say, letting you win.
I think you're right about the you can't break him. And, you know, you make an interesting point when you talk about, like, the will and the championship need to win. Because as Jeff Dickerson was pointing out with us earlier, you know, after games, these Bulls guys weren't hanging out. They were all business. Everything was about how do we win a championship. They would have done everything, including not like each other but still play together. We rarely see that anymore. There was a different will, right? We don't see that same will from KD. We don't see that same fire from KD. But frankly, we didn't see that same fire from Shaq and Kobe in that moment when they just couldn't work together anymore. The Bulls teams, at least in perception, no matter how much they hated each other, they loved winning so much, it was a different mindset. That different mindset had to have played a part in the game. I love the take on it. Keep your take coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A. to have an interesting conversation today, specifically about Michael Jordan and whether or not he has any regrets left from his career.
Michael Jordan, I think, should have zero regrets. Zero regrets. No regrets at all. This is why you fell in love with Michael Jordan. He was going to blaze his own path in his own way. He was going to do it the MJ way. He wasn't going to listen to what critics said. He wasn't going to listen to what friends had to say. Michael Jordan was the guy that said, I failed over and over and over and over again, and that's why I succeed. Michael Jordan is a visionary in his own way. And you may have thought the way he should have ended his career was off the last second shot to beat the Utah Jazz, but Michael Jordan still felt like he had more left to give the game. And Michael Jordan's thought process is what still makes him MJ to this day. So I know people could have said, well, he should have been more philanthropic. I don't know what Michael Jordan gave back then. He gave in a very private way back then, more so than how people like to, you know, showcase what they give today. I don't think Michael Jordan should have any regrets. The fact that he kept trying to push on and play the game at a high level is why we love Michael Jordan to this day. Because regardless of whatever anybody else said, he was going to be the guy that always gave it his all in everything he did. And as long as he learned from all of his failures, that's the only thing you can ask of a guy like Michael Jordan.
Well, Jay, I completely agree with you. I don't think he should have zero regrets either. I understand where Max is coming from, though. But let me just elaborate on a few things. Number one, people need to understand, and Michael Jordan himself, dare I say, may need to understand this. He was the president of basketball operations for the Washington Wizards before he decided to come and play for them. When you are handling stuff from a business perspective, you're not just looking at basketball operations. The target was ownership. Abe Pollin was owning the team at the time. Michael Jordan wanted to get a stake and ultimately take over ownership because there were a lot of rumors at the time that eventually Abe Pollin would surrender it. And so Michael Jordan was trying to position himself to buy the team. First things first, I'll be president of basketball operations. Well, guess what? In the nation's capital, a.k.a. Chocolate City. You know this, Max. They needed to fill the seats because obviously the team wasn't that successful and you were looking for a box office draw. So him deciding to come out of retirement and play had a lot to do with that because, again, he was targeting ownership. Now, it was helped and pushed along because prior to that, Phil Jackson had asked Michael Jordan to meet with Kobe Bryant and to talk to him, ironically, about making the necessary sacrifices to build team chemistry and things of that nature. And when Michael Jordan first met Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bryant said, I'd wax you, you know what, one-on-one. I'd destroy you and all of that stuff. You talk that junk to Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan wants you. Make no mistake about it. And he will definitely come at you. Only player that you know, the age 40 plus that scored over 40 in a game. This is what Michael Jordan did. This is who he was.
Yeah, I understand both of your points. Given the information at the time, there are reasons that he did what he did. And also, basketball is not boxing or MMA or football, where you stick around too long, you're paying a different kind of price with your health. So make him rip the uniform off you. Have no regrets, Jay, in terms of making sure that you squeezed every ounce of whatever was there. Because the second to last season, he was still an all-star caliber player. Just the last season that he really wasn't anymore. But when we say, should he have any regrets, I take that to mean in hindsight, in retrospect, knowing what we know now. Stephen A., they may have done more business. I mean, the place was packed, but you could hear a pin drop. Even when they were winning, there was no energy in the building back then. And it was just, I always felt, you know, because at the time I was supportive of it, Jordan's still going to be great. But especially that last season, knowing what we know now, I'll bet he'd like that one back. Why see Jordan go out like that? Particularly when you contrast it, Jay, with how it could have ended in Chicago.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. When you've accomplished what Michael Jordan has accomplished, it's hard to see that he would have any regrets from any of it. But we'll get a better sense of it over the course of the weekend as we finally get The Last Dance arriving Sunday night. Can't wait for it. Give us a real peek behind the curtain. I'm going to keep taking your take on who you think could have beaten Michael Jordan and the Bulls in their prime. 888-say-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bunch of you guys hanging on. We'll get to some of you guys coming up. We'll get more of your take. Plus, what version of Tom Brady are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers actually getting? That's next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you guys to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who do you think could have taken down the Bulls in their prime? By the way, have you heard about the All-In Challenge? Really cool. It's a fundraising effort for the coronavirus crisis relief. 100% of the money of what is raised will benefit charitable organizations focused on providing food to those in need, particularly kids, the elderly, frontline workers. You can check it out, allinchallenge.com. There are all kinds of once-in-a-lifetime experiences that you can bid on or you can enter to win. And I would really encourage you to go out there and look at it. Yes, if you just look at the bid page, the auction page, many of us could never get into the profile of those moments. But you can bid on the opportunity to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers home opener with Tom Brady and then hang out with Tom, right? There's those sorts of experiences. But if that's out of your price range, don't worry. There are a ton of, let's call them, they're called enter-to-win opportunities, almost like raffles. You can just buy raffle tickets to be entered to win. And those are insane. You want to fly on Air Drake and party in L.A., go to a Drake show? That's there. You can win that. You can join Jimmy Kimmel's band. Like, some of these are crazy. You have a walk-on role in a Scorsese movie with DiCaprio and De Niro. And you can just enter to win these like a raffle. So they have 10 tickets for $10. It goes up to as much as $100, gets you 200 entries. You want to be in Kevin Hart's next movie, Golf at Pebble Beach with Justin Timberlake and Bill Murray. This is all out there. Plus, really cool, Mark Cuban one-day contract to play with the Mavs. Check it out. It's allinchallenge.com. If you haven't checked out allinchallenge.com, you should check it out. And then keep checking it out because they're putting up new challenges consistently and new opportunities for people to bid on. 100% of the money raised by the All-In Challenge will benefit organizations providing food to those in need. If you want to participate, just want to learn about more about these organizations, go to allinchallenge.com. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies, tell everybody to go check it out. Really cool opportunity there. So we'll get to some of your take. I know you guys want to chime in on who you think could have taken down the Bulls, but real quick, there was a great conversation today. Former NFL wide receiver Brandon Marshall joined First Take to talk about Tom Brady and whether the Bucs are getting an elite player or a game manager.
If Jameis Winston, who should have been defensive player of the year throwing 30 interceptions last year, okay? First quarterback in NFL history that should have been a defensive player of the year. That's Jameis Winston. If he could throw for 5,109 yards and 33 touchdowns, I'm sorry, far be it for me to assume that even at age 43, Tom Brady could do the same. Especially with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard as weapons. Do I believe Tom Brady could do that? You're damn right I can. In Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich offense,
Yes, I do. So I expect Tom Brady to be closer to elite than closer to game manager this upcoming season.
Guys, what you're failing to realize is that what makes Tom Brady elite is how he managed the game. Okay? Tom Brady is not Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady has never been Patrick Mahomes. He's never been Russell Wilson. What Tom Brady does is he gets his guys in the right play. Situational football is out of this world. His football IQ, as we all know, is next level. Tom Brady dinks and dunks, and then he attacks you down the seam and with play action and all these flea flicker gadget plays that they write up during the week. That's Tom Brady. That's what makes him elite. And any quarterback out there, I don't care if you're 7, I don't care if you're in high school, I don't care if you are a 10-year NFL vet. If you want to be elite, you better manage the game.
Stephen A., let me get this straight. I need to get this straight. You start your argument by asking the rhetorical question, apparently, is 5,000 yards game manager?
I asked it to Brandon.
Then you turn around and point to Jameis Winston. So I guess Winston was elite last year, according to your logic.
First, take your take on ESPN News, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. What if they're getting an elite game manager? That in and of itself should be enough for him to win a bunch of games. In the meantime, we're taking your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who do you think could have taken down the Bulls in their prime? Travis in Illinois, what's your take on it?
Hey, what's up, Fitz? How you doing, bud?
Doing great, man. What is your take on it?
Well, I agree with Shaq first. The Lakers would dominate them. There's no matchup for Shaq. Back then, I mean, if you look at the last series, the last championship the Bulls won against the Jazz, the highest scoring game was 104 points by the Jazz. That ain't gonna last. I mean, you can't bring that type of game this way into today's era. So there's that. But I'm gonna throw a curveball at, especially the 90s people. There's only one team to ever beat a 70-win team in the championship, and that's the 2016 Cavs. There is a team that can say they've done it. So all these people.
Yeah, well, and yes, they did it. Thanks for your take on it. Yes, they did it, but they weren't taking on. They were taking on a Cavs team that we all know was LeBron and everybody else, right? LeBron and a bunch of guys. I mean, that was not the Bulls. You can make the argument the Bulls didn't have great depth, but they still had Scottie Pippen. Daniel in Texas, what's your take on it?
So, hey, Jason. First of all, thanks for taking my call. So before I give my answer, people have to remember, what era of the rules are we going with? Are we going with the 90 rules where you can hand check, or the late 2000 with no hand check? It all depends on that level, number one. But the team I know will probably beat them in 7 games would have been the 97 Houston Rockets. And excuse me, the reason why is because if you think about it, that's the team that everybody wanted the Chicago Bulls to play, pretty much. That was the team that was destined to play each other until the Jazz got in the way, because that's the team that won the 2 championships after the Bulls. Now, of course, the Bulls came back, but.
And thanks for your take on it. Sorry, we're up against it. We got to go. It's an interesting concept, though. The Rockets are usually forgotten in this process. So interesting concept on that. Love your take on it. It's been great. Will Cain's show coming up next. I'm sure he'll have something to say on this, too. Keep hanging out with ESPN Radio. Thanks for giving me your time today.